Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Sabrina, what's happening? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Good to see you.
Jill, I like what you have on here. What is it?
Yeah, you like my hippie necklaces?
I do.
Yeah, didn't you know I've always been a hippie at heart?
That's awesome.
No, these are Rudraksha beads. It's a typical kind of Japa meditation necklace where you do like a mantra, for example, and you basically use each bead. There's 108. It's a typical it's a meditation practice from India that goes back thousands of years. It's a very powerful practice, actually.
Really cool.
So I started doing various mantras and using the trying it on. I've done lots of mantras over the years, but without the beads. And so lately, I've been trying it with the beads, and it brings out the hippie in me by wearing it. So
Nice. And how often do you do it? Like every day during throughout the day or
I do meditations every single day. Using the beads just kind of sporadically right now. Like, I don't really have a consistent practice with it. My consistent, like, daily practice is in the mornings is Sudarshan Kriya. So it's a yoga breath work pranayama meditation technique that I actually combine with the Om meditation technique from Paramahansa Yogananda, and the Sudarshan Kriya is from Gurudev, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. Very powerful, super powerful meditation practices. Like, the breath work piece gets you deep into a meditative state so quickly with that specific pranayama. It's like I can get into that state just sitting in meditation after however long it takes. But with the breath work, it just totally empties the mind, and then you can get into like that deep meditative state very quickly.
Wow, neat. Love
Yeah.
it. Yeah, the breath is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it's where everything comes from. I mean, ancient India, they teach about prana, and prana being life force energy, and the breath is the direct access link to that prana, to activating and bringing in more of that life force energy into our bodies. And so breath is not prana by itself, but breath is a delivery of prana, right? Life force energy, prana, chi, from ancient Chinese teachings, that life force that animates our bodies. We can cultivate that and increase it and direct it and control it, through various pranayama practices. This is what the great, rishis and ancient yogic masters, and even Qigong and Tai Chi masters have known for thousands of years, that through our breath, we can control our nervous system, we can control the prana, the life force, the chi in our bodies. And the more I do it, the more I realize absolutely how powerful it is.
Awesome. Love it. That's awesome.
So how are you? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Of course.
For people
Glad
who
to
don't
be here.
know, Sabrina Perez is a certified hypnotherapist, a Reiki healer, life coach. And I met Sabrina because of RTT, Rapid Transformational Therapy. I always recommend the cancer clients and patients that we work with to do some form of mental and emotional trauma healing work. I learned about RTT years ago, and have seen how such a powerful emotional healing tool that it is to help us really go in and heal these childhood traumas that probably 99.9% of humans have, right? That adults have that haven't fully healed or
Absolutely.
transformed, right? And so I was like, well, I want to do some RTT sessions. And so I found you online and hired you and did some sessions with you. And I just thought, you were so amazing and did such an incredible job. I got a lot out of it. And then you also have other coaching tools that we've used that have been super helpful and practical as well. So I was like, hey, let's get on the podcast and just talk about all this awesome stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited to have these talks with you.
So I know you're now learning a new healing modality, which is exciting, the MAP method. But rapid transformational therapy, can you talk about what that is for people who don't know and why it's so powerful and how it works?
Yes, of course. So rapid transformational therapy was created by Marissa Peer, and she's a pretty known presence online. A lot of people find Marissa's work via social media, YouTube. She talks a lot about the subconscious mind because it is a hypnotherapy method. So we use hypnosis to access the subconscious and what is blocking you, and those things that keep us from moving forward in our life, and the things we want to do, or doing things that we don't want to be doing. And so much of it is happening at the subconscious level, what's driving it. And so RTT is a wonderful hypnotherapy that we go back to the root cause of what the issue is. And our subconscious mind is so powerful. It knows exactly where to take you. And so in a session, we go back to scenes that have everything to do with why this is showing up in your life. And it's powerful, usually between the ages of 1 to 7. I've had clients go back to the womb, even, and recalling experiences, things. Because when we are in utero, our hearing is the first thing that we have. And so things heard. I've had clients go back to the womb, hearing their parents fighting. And, a baby feels the emotions of the mother and takes those on. And so that actually can transfer to us and become a limiting belief in us even then. So that is, it's just really powerful. Between the ages of 0 to 7 is usually where we form most of our beliefs about ourselves, about the world, how lovable we are, how, and we pick up the limiting beliefs because when we're children, we're relying on the adults around us to keep us safe, right? We're helpless, we're dependent. And when something around us isn't aligning with feeling safe, feeling protected, feeling good in life and for ourselves, what happens is we turn it in on us. This must be me. And it becomes a way of surviving. And it can be the most benign thing in life. It doesn't have to be huge trauma to do that in our lives. It can be as simple as, I'm 5 years old and I came home so excited to show my mom my project, and she's didn't even pay attention. She didn't even notice. She just said, "Oh, that's nice, honey," and set it down. And I walked away feeling, "Huh, I must not be good enough." And, as an adult, we know that's not what was happening, but as children, that's what we take on. And the subconscious mind doesn't have a time reference, right? So it stays with you. It's like, okay, there's one little plug, I'm not enough. And then throughout the course of life in childhood, we start picking up more and more beliefs about that. And it can become a real negative pattern in our lives and how we identify with ourselves. And so in RTT, we go back to those and kind of become detectives together. Go through the scenes. What did I believe about myself? And the funnest part is we get to update the subconscious. Go, oh, I'm not that 5-year-old anymore. I'm an adult now. And you bring in all the beliefs that are true about you as the adult now. And then what we get to do is make a recording. I make a recording for my clients that they listen to that has all of those powerful new beliefs. And also, what do you want? The way you want to see your life moving forward with those limiting beliefs now out of the way, because we let them go. It makes room for those new beliefs to come in for you to really, really see what you want and nothing's blocking it any longer. And so it's able to be absorbed and new neural pathways form while you listen to that recording for 21 days at least. And powerful change happens very quickly, working with the subconscious.
Yeah, it is really powerful. And it's amazing when we go in and do that work and discover new experiences that we forgot about that are driving our subconscious today. You know, we're talking about hypnotherapy and hypnosis, for example. And, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton, who I've spoken with a number of times over the years, he's been in my documentaries and just a really brilliant scientist and researcher. One of the things he has identified and speaks about is, and like you said, up until about 7 years old is where we form majority of our kind of core beliefs. Well, why is that? Well, they've discovered that up until around 7 years old, roughly, our brain, if you take an EEG of the brain, we're in a hypnosis state. We are in a theta brainwave frequency, right? So when we go into self-hypnosis or guided hypnosis, we get into that theta state. When we go into a deep meditation, we get into that theta state. And when we're in that theta state, where the frequency of the brain, that's the reprogramming state, that's the learning state, that's the, hey, if you want to say affirmations to yourself to actually make positive changes, if you do it in this conscious state or alpha state, for example, it's like you're going to have to do 10 million of those affirmations to do the same amount of work you could do with just a handful of those affirmations or reprogramming when you're in the theta state. Well, from 0 to 7, you're basically in hypnosis the whole time so that we can learn how, you know, the rules and regulations and how to be a part of this society, right? We learn the basic fundamentals. So then they're in our subconscious. The problem is most of us grow up in some kind of dysfunctional family or dysfunctional society, dysfunctional people around us. And so we are adopting and learning and taking on these dysfunctional beliefs, these self-limiting beliefs, these dysfunctional behaviors. Like you said, oh, I must not be good enough. Oh, you know, people don't love me. That's my fault. There's something wrong with me. I'm not trustworthy. We come up with all these subconscious beliefs as children. You know, nobody cares about me. You know, all these kinds of things that in many cases are not true, but that's what we've seen in the actions around us. When you and I did a session together, like I remember, I can't remember. It was like we went back to a time when I was like 5 years old or 7 years old, right around that time frame, and went to an experience that I had forgotten about, completely forgotten about, just, you know, locked away in a cupboard somewhere, that had made me feel shame, right? Shame because it was something that I'd never talked to anybody about as a kid, you know, exploring my body and things like that. Not, you know, and then thinking, oh, this is bad what you've done. You should be ashamed of yourself. And so I had this subconscious programming of shame that's kind of like, you know, behind the scenes, no matter how much work I've done over the years, like that was still there until we went in and identified it and brought light to it. And then, you know, helped, like some of the words you're saying, you know, when we were in that, in the hypnosis state, was that I remember was like, look, you're a 7-year-old kid. Like, this is very normal, right? What you're
Age
doing.
appropriate.
Age appropriate, what you're doing, exploring your body. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. It's like, oh yeah, that's true. That's right. There's nothing to be, you know,
And even as
shameful
adults,
about.
nothing wrong
Yeah.
with that.
Right. That really, that it's only because in our mind we judge and have these preconceived ideas that this is right and this is wrong when we can step outside of that. But as a child, it's like we don't even have control of that. You know, it's like it's automatic. And so what that does is it, I think I told you, is like, oh, I felt this after that session. And we went to three different events, right? And cleared all of them and reprogrammed. And I just felt like a big weight was lifted off my shoulders after that. Like just this kind of, this kind of sense of freedom. It's very, very empowering.
It is so empowering. It's you know, and it's so interesting with that shame and those beliefs that we picked up in that time in our life, how it directly, you know, the subconscious mind, it's always so fascinating, brings the scenes that come up. My clients will be like, wow, like that, I never even if it's a known scene, they remember even, they're like, I never even had any idea this had anything to do with this, pain I was having in my body or whatever it is that the person was dealing with. They're like, man, I never would have dreamed of, but what comes out is those beliefs, and those beliefs, and they that are there, say that shame, and then whatever it is that's manifesting in your body, it thinks it's doing something to help you in some sort of way. And that's what's real powerful, is that these things that we often struggle with or have a hard time achieving or letting go of is there to do something for us. In some way, it's helping us. And in sessions, we get to go and find out what that is. What is this doing that it thinks it's helping you in some sort of way? And it's usually either to prioritize, to protect, or to punish. And so the client knows, like the subconscious knows, your mind knows exactly what it's doing, and it all comes out, and that part gets to talk and let us know what it is. And it's just shedding, light. It puts light onto what's really going on. And it's something that in the conscious mind, you could talk about your problem for hours and hours and months and years, and it's almost reinforcing it. In the subconscious, to be able to go in and explore what this is about just opens up a whole new world of understanding, which is powerful.
It's, prioritize, protect, punish. I mean, this is actually very much in alignment with German new medicine, specifically for cancer. And, let's say a woman has breast cancer, for example. Dr. Hammer found that every kind of cancer is directly associated with some kind of emotional trauma and subconscious belief patterning. And that is there to basically, the cancer shows up as like a result of that, but also as a healing, a physiological healing mechanism from that trauma. That trauma, until we've actually fully, reconciled it and healed it and forgiven it and understood it, then that cancer's, going to show up. And when that cancer finishes its, physiological process, then you're fully healed. Mentally, emotionally. And so, when you say the physiological response, let's say it shows up, as breast cancer or whatever physical disease, as a result of, those childhood adverse events, how would you said prior, it's there to prioritize, to protect, or to punish. So can you talk more about that and like what that would look like with someone with breast cancer
Yeah,
or
because it
any
seems
cancer? Yeah.
so strange, right? It's like, how is that? How could this possibly be trying to prioritize me? But if you felt, dismissed as a child, not seen, not heard, and you brought on this belief that I'm unimportant, I don't matter. And oftentimes these things we create, we bring in, and it seems really harsh to say, well, I created this. That can strike some real strong emotions of frustration, anger, and like, yeah, no. But it's here, think doing something useful. And often what that is, say it's to prioritize you. So now I have this happening going on in my life, and what wasn't happening for me as a child, I wasn't seen, I wasn't understood, I wasn't heard. This is going to help me feel heard, and I need this because I'm not seen, I'm not noticed, I'm not important. Okay, so there's, it just keeps going. What's the role? The role is to prioritize me. Well, I need to prioritize who, put your name in, because she doesn't feel important. She doesn't feel seen. She doesn't feel loved. Okay, I'm the part of so and so who came up with this disease, and my function in her life is to prioritize her because she's invisible. No one notices her, no one sees her. And on we go through a whole process of bringing it out, and she feels small. She feels not good enough. She feels, like she's losing her life, losing her, losing the will to live. And what comes out in this is that prioritizing that it's trying to do for us is actually doing the complete opposite. It's actually causing us to feel small, us to feel helpless, us to feel like we don't have the will, the means, the ability to live our life full out. So these parts that,
Because we don't understand it.
right.
Right.
And so when you get understanding, like, oh, this is what it's trying to do for me, and it's not actually working, it's not doing that. It's actually causing me hardship, it's causing me pain, it's causing me to suffer. So in hypnosis, we get to go and really notice that and see that. And sometimes we have to negotiate with it. Are you ready? Do you want it? Are you ready to let it go? Well, if it's been there for a really long time, it's working really hard to protect you or prioritize you, keep you safe. So we need to really have a strong conversation with that part, thanking it for what it's been doing, but really helping it to understand that it's not necessary. I don't need you anymore. I'm not that little kid. And usually there's an event that shows up when it was created. Maybe the disease wasn't there at 6 years old, but the event was where these beliefs came in. And so to realize, okay, I'm not that 6-year-old anymore. I'm an adult now. I drive a car. I have a home. I do have people around me, people who care about me. I am seen. I am heard. And we kind of just bring up and uplift like who that person is now. And then it creates the ability to say, yeah, I don't need you anymore. You're kind of not working for me. You're not doing what I really intended for you to do. And to see that I actually can do this for myself.
And it's so powerful, and a lot of that. There's been a number of doctors who have kept track of that, and there's studies on this, have kept track of, even as adults, usually within about 18 months prior to a cancer diagnosis, there was some traumatic event, whether it was a divorce, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a major, career, maybe you lose your home, a major financial struggle, some kind of traumatic event within 18 months, in so many cases have been documented, they can tie it back to that traumatic event, and then cancer is diagnosed within 18 months. Well, we also know that cancer can take up to 10 years or longer before it's, while it's forming, before it
Manifests.
actually can be diagnosed with modern tools. There's more and more testing that can look at these things much sooner now. But, let's say that traumatic experience happened 18 months ago as an adult. Let's say you're 50 and it happened, at 48 or something. But even then, if you look back, whatever happened, let's say it was a divorce or a major relationship issue, and you look at what caused that, you can almost always tie that back to something from your childhood, right? So, like, even though, it's like, yeah, we can do work on the thing that happened 18 months ago, but even then, it's probably going to take you back to something that happened when you were 5 years old, and some belief system that you still have today that led to this, this showing up in your life 50 years later, which has probably shown up 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 times by that point,
Pattern.
right? Yeah, you see the pattern. Once you start looking back at your life, I can look back and it's like, oh yeah, I see that pattern again and again and again and again. Okay, so what's, and that's one of the reasons I think I reach out to you too. I was like, all right, I've seen this pattern enough times now. I know there's something there. I'd like to figure out what it is, and then, and then we do the work, and then it shows up.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that. I've had loss in my life, and loss and grief definitely play a huge role in our body and the response to it. And I lost my husband and my mother within 7 months of each other in 2014. And sure enough, just about that year and a half later, I had uterus cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most challenging times in my life. And what has really played a big role in helping my clients today in loss, through loss. And the biggest thing for me that I want to help people with in loss is not losing themselves in the loss. When we lose something, we so quickly reject ourselves as well. And whatever it is, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a job, the loss of finances, we so often, just as we did as children, turn on ourselves, we do the same thing in that pain.
With the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljanski's wellness products. Maison Beljanski's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljanski formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljanski's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljanski has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. One of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code Panacea15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
And so helping my clients to move through loss, honoring the loss, honoring themselves, and helping clients who are stuck. And 10 years ago, there was a loss, and they still haven't been able to move through it and recover from it. And they don't even know who they are. You know, for so long, I identified with that loss. Like I was now Sabrina, who lost her husband and her mom within 7 months of each other. The husband was a sudden loss. My mom was a long-term, you know, 2 years. She was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis and died within 2 years of that. But for the longest time, that identified me. That's who I was. And I recognized that I kind of was losing myself in that. And I think, you know, coming to a place of honoring yourself and also honoring that loss. And people struggle to do that sometimes because it's scary. It's scary. And part of that honoring is allowing yourself to feel it and go kind of the honoring is feeling what it feels like. But so often, how many times have we experienced a really hard thing and I've seen people do it, and I'm sure you have too. You know, they start to cry, they start to feel like, no, I'm not going to feel that. I'm going to turn it off. I can't go there. Because if I go there, I'm going to fall apart. Everything's going to shatter. And I noticed I was doing that. And I was standing at the kitchen sink one day, and my mom had died. It had been probably three or 4 months, and I hadn't even cried yet. But you know, it was just coming off of the loss of my husband as well. But I hadn't even found the emotion for having lost her, and it hit me, and I was just like, oh, the emotion hit me, and I wanted to turn it off. And I remember I just kind of just crumpled to the floor, and my hands covered in lemon scented dish soap laying there, and I got that same sensation, that feeling like, no, I can't, I'm gonna die if I feel this pain. Like it's gonna take my life also. And I remember hearing in my this inner voice just saying, no. You got to feel this. You got to go through this. And I remember seeing like this doorway in my mind's eye, like an arch. And I just knew that was the door to my grief. I needed to go through it. And I just was like, okay, all right, I'll do it. And I just laid there and I cried until there were no more tears to cry. And it felt so good to do that. It was so scary. I really did think physically I was going to not make it through that. But I was just shocked at the end when I was like settled, and I was so like, how is it possible that I feel stronger? How do I feel stronger at the end of what I just let myself go through? And I think really what that was is an honoring the loss, honoring yourself in the loss. It was beautiful, and it was really a beautiful teaching moment for me.
Wow. Yeah, it's so powerful. I think we're designed with that, grieving mechanism, right? That like when we lose somebody or something that we are attached to, that we have love for, like there's an extreme version of that where it just affects us for years and years and years, and there's a healthy version of that we feel sad, we feel heartbroken, we feel, your body, you feel weak, you feel sick, you feel sad. But the grieving process, we're designed to be able to process that, right? That's why it's the grieving process. We process those emotions through fully accepting it and accepting whatever we're feeling and accepting what we need to go through in that moment. And that very odd part of that design, that process, is to cry, is to, you're literally letting out this stuck energy through our tears and through our weeping and through, even through our skin. And it's like you feel this this release, like you said, you felt so much better after because you allowed yourself to fully cry. I think, as a kid, I didn't know how to, certainly as a teenager, didn't know how to process my emotions. I didn't know how to express them. And sometimes I would just randomly start crying in a situation where, like, there was really no reason to cry and I didn't know it. And then I felt, again, there's that shame, right? I felt ashamed of, like, why am I crying? You're such an idiot. This is, you shouldn't be crying right now. And it was just like there was all this stuck emotion that needed to come out. And then it comes out, something triggered it to come out, and then I judge it. And then, and it's I'm judging and there's this shame. And it wasn't until years later, I think probably early 20s, and certainly helped with a lot of meditation to understand that that grieving process is so healthy. And now, like, I mean, there's so many things that'll bring me to tears. It's, like a beautiful thing happens on a show I'm watching. I mean, I'll be, tears are coming out of my face, and I let it. Like, I don't hold it back. Or something sad happens, and it brings me to tears. It's like that's like a part of our
We're
release
designed.
instead of holding on to that energy and building up inside of us and turning to a cancer diagnosis. It's like let it go. You let it go, and then after you feel so free. I had a best friend growing up, and we got into drugs and alcohol together, and then we kind of separated ways, and he went really hard into, methamphetamine and shooting up all the time, and then I moved away and got sober and started, really cleaning up my life. And we lost touch. I didn't follow up with him, and we just stayed out of touch. And then I found out, this was a few years ago, that he died of an overdose. And And he had a young daughter and basically no healthy environment to go. I mean, his parents were in and out of prison for drugs, and he and his daughter was, like, I think around the age of my son. So, like, that it hit me. I had all this guilt of, like, I wish I could have helped him. I wish I could have helped him out of that. I got myself out of that and got sober and cleaned up my life, and was able to, help myself. But why wasn't I able to help him? I should have helped him more. And that guilt, and then also, like, feeling somewhat responsible, and then knowing he had a daughter that was, like, where's she gonna go? She ended up in foster care or something. I mean, I just broke down in tears, like, just totally crying. And I let it. I knew, like, whatever, this sucks. This feeling sucks. And I don't like it, but it needs to happen. And I let it happen. And then right after, I thought, okay, that was good. Now what can I do? So I actually switched to, okay, let that happen and now try to be proactive. What can I do to support? And then so actually I reached out to his family, and I found out his sister, who was in a good place, was able to take his daughter and basically adopt her. So, that worked out well. I was able to send them some money and support them. And, just I was able to do a few little things here and there that was like, okay, now I can actually take some kind of action to help. But if I just try to bottle that up and hide it away and not accept it, I'd probably still be struggling with that today.
100%. Yes. And that's, I was, while you were telling this story, I was just thinking, like, man, that is, you were able to process all of the feelings, the guilt. That's a scary thing to face, those feelings of like, I could have done more, I should have done more. And you allowed yourself to feel them, to look at them, you even speak them. And a lot of people can't do that. They hide that away because it's just too frightening to even speak it out loud. Because if it's true, then what does that mean about me? And
Right.
so
It means you're
often,
human. Right? I mean, that's the
right.
truth.
But
Like, it means
yes,
you're a
exactly. But when
human
we're in this world of our own, this darkness inside of us to where, we're hiding, we
Exactly.
don't, there's no light shed on it. So,
Yeah.
to be able to process even like running from the feelings, it just becomes so big and grand that we don't even have a way around it. And then there isn't solutions. There's no answers in front of us because this block, this big boulder of pain and shame and guilt is in the way. And with clients that have really struggled with a loss and they've been unable to move on in their life. And I don't like to say move on. I don't like using that because it feels so discarding of the person, or if it's a loss of a human or a pet. So I like to say move through the loss, because they're with you through it, but who have been not been able to move through it. They're stuck. They're stuck. They can't. It's like it happened yesterday, and maybe it was 10 years ago.
Right.
And when I
And
have
they
clients,
relive it. I mean, I know people that relive experiences they went through as a kid again and again and again. It's like that thing happened 50, 60 years ago and it's in the past. It's done, it's gone. But because it's still stuck in the mind and you haven't reconciled it, you literally recreate that suffering in yourself again and again and again and again. And it really is the mind that's creating all of the unhappiness. It's creating all of the suffering. I mean, 90% or more of our own unhappiness and suffering comes from our own mind. And the beautiful thing is, we have control over that. It's not easy, but we can control our own mind with practice, with tools, with emotional healing, hypnotherapy, RTT, meditation, pranayama, like. It's proven these things are science-based that we can take back control of our mind. But for most of us, the mind is completely dictating your life. And, all the things that make you unhappy are all the things that you reject, you push away, right? You don't accept. It's like, I don't like that. 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 That's fine. You don't like those things. But because you have an energy attached to them, right? There's an attachment to an aversion to, oh, I don't like this thing, then instead of accepting it, we're trying to push it away. But as magnetic beings, what we push away, we actually attract to us. So I don't like
What
that.
you
I don't like that.
resist
I don't like
persists.
that. Yeah, what you resist persists. It actually keeps coming back again and again and again. So if you go, look at the things you don't like, and why do they keep showing up in your life again and again and again and again? Because you're pushing them away and they keep coming back.
And then also, then because it keeps coming back, it's knocking at the door louder, bang, 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 louder, louder, louder. And so we then focus on it. And what, guess what? Another thing about the mind, you get more of what you focus on.
Right.
So it just becomes like I said, that big rock, that boulder that you just can't get over, you can't get under, you can't get around it at all. It's just there. And, in RTT and in the mind shifting coaching process that I do with RTT, some powerful ways I've helped clients move through grief is with RTT, going back, and again, it goes back to, it can go back to childhood experiences, or we go back to the event of the loss and what did I believe about myself in that? And it becomes something, about self that I'm rejecting and running from, just like what you were sharing, in this loss of this friend, I feel bad. I could have done something. And, I wish I could have. And so, and that will come out in sessions. And it so often it is guilt that has blocked someone from fully grieving in a healthy, honoring the loss, honoring yourself in that. And so in the session that comes up, we get to really work through it, let it go. And then I give them a recording to listen to. And that recording is powerful. It's like, wow, okay, I see the powerful, loving, wonderful person that I am. And that's getting that back to you and listening to it and how I want to move through this loss in a healthy, honoring way of that person or that loved one. I want to pets too, animal loss of an animal is really also a really hard thing for a lot of people. And then they're able to see themselves moving through it in a different way, and it's so healing. And then with mind shifting is in coaching, we do a process, and you've done this process where you get to actually sit with what it feels like and really explore the uncomfortable feelings of this problem or this what it might be. And I've worked through client with clients through this process on stuck grief, and giving some time to explore what is coming up for you in this. And then we vacillate back to what would it be like to not have this problem, to then you're giving space for both feelings. And then it just starts clearing away the window, the fog, I kind of visualize it as like spraying some Windex on the window and we're cleaning it off and it gets clearer and clearer. And just like you said, once you process those feelings and that feeling of guilt and that those feelings of, oh, you spoke them, you allowed them to be there, you honored what you were feeling, you got clarity on steps forward. You're like, oh, here's what I can do. And that's what happens in that coaching process. It's like the client gets so clear on direction. All of a sudden, this isn't in the way. This isn't a big boulder anymore. It's like
And
broken apart, and I have a way around.
it's usually something different than what you've been doing,
It totally is.
right? Or that you
Yes.
think you should be doing. It's usually
Yes.
something different.
Yes.
I could share my own experience with that, but I want to say on the mind shifting, that's just like we don't even go into hypnosis, right? We just sit
No, it's
there.
just a light trance, light, just meditative. And I
It's
don't even
very
guide you there. It just
powerful.
happens so easily.
It's very powerful because, it's like you're kind of repeating, and then I think when we did it, you're like, what do we want to focus on today? And I said, well, let's stay focused on physical health on my shoulders or whatever pain, my knee pain or whatever it was, right? You can focus on different things, but as we go like deeper and deeper, and as you're asking more questions, more questions, more questions, it's like, yeah, are you complete? And it's like, yeah, I think so. You're like, do you want to go deeper? I'm like, all right, sure. We go deeper. And then I find out it's like, oh no, there's more layers. There's more layers. There's more layers. And it's like there's this wall. I think I did 3 sessions with you. Every session, it was like, by the third one, I was used to it. I was like, okay, this is cool. By the first two, it was a little uncomfortable because it's like, all right, we're just hitting the same wall again. Same
Cycling.
wall, same wall again, right? It's like
Yes.
in the wall, meaning like there's like nothing deeper or nothing becoming more clear, kind of like the same answer just keeps coming up again and
Yes.
again. And
Yes.
then all of a sudden, something clicks and it's like, boom, you get clarity. Like you said, the wiping the windshield, it's like, oh, you get clarity and then you get deeper and then it makes sense. And then you're like, ah, okay. All right. Now I understand what this is and why this is happening and then what we can do about it. So by the third one, I was just like kind of expecting that. And so when it was like hitting that wall, hitting that wall, hitting the wall, it was like, okay, we're gonna break through. And then boom, we break through. And it's a really cool process. It's pretty incredible. You call it
Mind shifting, and
mind shifting.
Stevie Kent is who created the method. So great guy and wonderful. It is powerful. And it's funny how you mentioned that, you did feel a bit of like frustration with the cycling through. It's like, oh my gosh, this is feels so repetitive, or like, oh, I can't come up with any other feelings about this. And whatever it is that's going on is such a common feeling that clients will have with it. And your practices that you're so familiar with in your own, journey on self and exploring self helped you to be able to stick through it and keep going. And but it's it is and then if a client does have that resistance, then we do a mind shifting on that. Like, okay, let's explore that resistance. What's that about? And something comes up, and then it's like, oh, okay, now I'm good. So interesting. It's huge breakthroughs. Like my clients who will experience a mind shifting session the first time literally are like, what was that?
Yeah, by the end of it, I was like midway through, I was like, all right, this is, not that great. And then by the end of it, I was like, that was freaking
Yep. It's either, we can work on problem or goal. There's kind of two ways. And the thing is we put an identity on ourselves about what's going on in our life. And there's an identity. And then with that identity, kind of forms our thoughts about ourselves, about life. And then those thoughts create feelings. And then those feelings create actions. And then those actions create outcomes. And if the identity is a negative identity, we're going to have a negative thought and then a negative feeling, which produces a negative action, which produces negative outcomes. And then it becomes just this loop that we stay in. And this mind shifting process takes us out of that loop. And then we can start seeing clearly our true essence, who we really are, and have
Is there a
start.
way to, yeah, is there a way to do mind shifting like in a group setting?
Yeah, I do group mind shifting.
You do? That's cool.
So it's pretty powerful. And all the work that I do is basic is all subconscious. It's all working with the subconscious mind, because that's running 97, 98% of what we do is run by the subconscious mind. And when we can start diving in there and healing and reprogramming those, getting rid of those old programs that are not working for us, that are not serving us any longer, it's life changes in a beautiful way.
So we talked about when these traumas happen, these adverse events, and then we create usually subconsciously something to either prioritize ourselves or protect. And this is usually a belief system, right? It's like to protect or prioritize. You said punish, but we didn't talk about punish. Can you talk about that, how that shows up?
Sure. So in punishing ourselves, it often is attached to something that we feel bad about. Even as a child, we feel bad that this happened, and so appropriate to punish for that, right? I got to punish myself because that's something that I did that I feel bad about. And so for now, forever, I need to make sure that I pay for that.
And again,
And so,
that's a subconscious thing that happens, right? It's just like
yes,
this
yes.
belief that happens, and then it ends up on autopilot running in the background for the rest of your life until we
Yes.
become aware of it.
Yes. And really, ultimately, that punishment is to prioritize or protect in some sort of way. It's because it is thinking it's helping us to do that.
Like, can you
And
give an example of that, how that would show up?
yeah, it's not honest. I probably have, out of all the sessions that I've done, punish has maybe been 2%. It isn't that the biggest one is to protect. That is the one that comes up the most. Protect. I got to keep you safe.
Because
And when
something bad happened to me, and so, or this is a bad thing happened to me, so I'm going to create this, like give an example of like a belief or something that then would be created
Yeah,
to protect
so
me.
like okay, I'll give you a personal example for of myself. So I grew up believing that I wasn't smart. Okay, I'm not smart. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't learn. I can't learn very well. This is hard for me. Well, it caused me to lack confidence in myself, lack confidence in my learning. Well, when I was 8 years old, I went to a new school, and this new school was PACE systems. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a self-learning, self-paced program. It was a private school. I was third grade, 8 years old, went to this school. Well, reading was difficult for me, but this whole curriculum was based on these paces. You read the chapter, you take the test, and you move through the paces that way. There's no lecturing, there's no hands-on teaching. It's all reading and learning. It was really hard. I was great at math. I loved the math paces. So I was like zooming ahead in my math paces. And we had to like keep track of our chapters. We had this many to do every week. And the teacher would come check to see how far you were and are you on track? Well, I was way ahead in math and I was behind in English, science, and social studies in those paces because I was struggling. Well, instead of getting help, I got spanked in front of the classroom for being behind in my not being where I was supposed to be. Well, I took that on as something's wrong with me. I'm stupid.
Like physically,
I
you got physically spanked.
physically spanked, paddled with a paddle,
Yeah.
in like not even privately, like the students saw. This was horrible.
Oh, that's so traumatizing as a kid.
Yeah, little 8-year-old, brand new school, like trying to figure out this new way of learning and struggling to learn that way. Well, I took on, I'm not smart. Something's wrong with me. I'm bad. I'm not smart. And that very belief created a lack of confidence in me, which in turn was there just to protect me. I needed that lack of confidence in that moment about myself to protect me, somehow to protect me, because, and it just seems so strange. It's like, wait, how is that protecting me? But these adults in our lives are there to keep us safe. They're there, that, like, we need them to keep us safe, to keep us feeling safe in the world. And when they fail us, that's even scarier to, as a kid, to go, well, that's a, they're an idiot. You know, they're, what are they doing? That was really, really messed up. We don't do that. We decide it must be me. And it's a way of coping with feeling secure. Because if I now even place more on that adult as, you know, that they kind of have some problems or there's some issues here, then my world's really scary. So if I put it on
Right, because you're
me,
'cause you're look 'cause you're supposed to trust them, and
yeah.
for you as a kid to go, hey, this person doesn't know what they're doing, they're a terrible person, and it's like then you break that trust that
Yeah, then what am I going to
you
do? I'm
desperately need.
dependent on you.
Right. So
My whole youth.
you create insecurity, lack of confidence, shyness, however that showed up, as a way to protect you from. Like the mind, so I'm trying to think. So the subconscious mind is like, okay, this is going to protect me from being in more of those situations that if I was
Exactly.
confident, like I'm going to be in front of more people, I'm going to have more chances, more opportunities to get hurt
To
if,
fail, to get hurt.
yeah,
Yes.
to fail, to get
Yes.
hurt. And so the insecurity goes, okay, I withdraw
This is what
within,
I have to
I
do
hide
to
in the
stay safe.
corner, people don't see me. Right, that's protecting me from the opportunity of failure or getting hurt.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And so then, you know, when we're able to go back and look at that and see that what it was doing, what it was thought, what we, what in that moment, what it needed to, what I needed it for. Now as an adult, I don't need that anymore. I don't need that to protect. I'm not at this, I'm not at the hands of that teacher any longer. I'm not it, I'm not, you know, under this type of scenario anymore. That's the thing with the subconscious. It's not, there's not a time stamp. There's not a time reference with the subconscious mind. It stays stuck in the event and the feelings stay there too. And then we keep moving through life with that, with those conclusions, with those, you know, ideas of how life works.
See, if we have really conscious parents, right? This is, people go, why would we
Yes.
be designed this way? This is so dumb, it stays with us. Well, we're designed to be very intelligent, loving, conscious human beings. And when we're not conscious, we don't have that awareness. That's when these things stick with us forever, right? But if you had very conscious, very aware, spiritually connected parents, and that happened, they would be able to help you process
Totally.
through it. Right, this is not
Totally.
your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. That teacher has their issues. I will make sure they never hit you again. You know,
Well,
you
my mom and dad didn't even know. They
right.
didn't even know. The teacher never even said. The school never even told. My mom never knew about that. When I told her about that years later, she was like, "What? I didn't know about." Oh, yeah. You know, but with the teacher, you know, I mean, conscious teachers. I mean, I can't tell you how many clients. It's teachers, some of their biggest wounds and pains and limiting beliefs came from school, came from teachers.
Yep.
Teachers knew the impact they have on a child's life. They would want to teach consciously, be a conscious teacher. Like, what would
Exactly.
that look like? What would that have looked like for me at, you know, 8 years old to have that teacher be teaching in a conscious way? Well, we're all amazing, smart, capable people. Clearly, I see me, you're struggling here. How can I help you? What can I do to help you here? You've got this. You can do this. Let me see what is happening. Show me where you're struggling. You've got this. Let's do this. Let's do this together. But so many times we as adults look at life so black and white, good and bad, and we look at people the same way. And we look at kids the same way. Oh, that's bad. Oh, look how bad you're acting. Look how did, and I got to deal with that bad. You know, it's like, oh, no. Look at how beautiful we are as people. And see that, the good that's there, and bring that out in each other. And we got to bring it out in ourselves first. That's the thing, is we got to love ourselves. We got to see it in ourselves and nurture that and grow that to be able to even possibly do that for others.
So RTT is a fantastic methodology for going in and healing, discovering and processing and healing these events. The mind shifting is super powerful. You're now, I turned you on to MAP from Colette
Oh, that's
Stryker.
such a funny story too.
Yeah, do you want to talk about it? And 'cause I know
I would love to. Yes. Oh
as
my
you start
goodness,
teaching
Matt.
MAP, right? Like
Yeah.
that's another level. And another tool that can help people so powerfully.
Yeah, so powerful. So MAP, make anything possible is what MAP stands for. And I saw Colette Stryker. She's the one, her and her son are the ones who kind of designed this method. And I saw it probably, maybe it was 2 years, 3 years ago. And I was fascinated. I'm like, oh, that looks amazing. Wow, how cool. And I didn't really do much with it because I was busy in my, business and seeing clients and getting going. And I'm like, oh, I love what I'm doing. I don't want to add anything else. And so kind of set it aside. And then it came back into my awareness, into my world again. And I'm like, oh, yes, that. So I joined an intro session that Colette offers and learned about it and thought, oh, this is incredible. And then I decided to wait on it again. And then a third time came around again.
Three times a charm, third time's a
No,
charm.
the fourth was you. And
Oh,
then I was
fourth.
kind of serious. I got more serious. I'm like, oh yes, I want to learn this. I want to do this. This is something that I just feel excited about. And then waited on it. And it was like 6 months later, I saw you, and then you came back and shared with me about MAP and how amazing it is. And I was just like, okay, God,
You're like, all
universe,
right,
I'm
God, all right,
doing it.
universe, fourth time. All right, I'm listening now. I got you.
It was that week I went and got signed up and started. So I'm in the middle of that training, and it's so, I love it. I'm so passionate about MAP. And yeah.
When will
And
you
I,
be
it,
able to offer those sessions to your clients?
yeah, I will have my certification in April.
Cool.
And but the cool thing about MAP is they, as we're learning, it's such a deep dive into these sessions. There's so much there, and we're learning sections as we go, and we get to a certain point where we can offer to our clients sessions just like
Nice.
at a minimal rate. And so I'm offering it to my clients now. So my current clients are getting MAP sessions for like $40 a session instead of, 150, or so it's really fun. So they're getting to experience that. So that's something I'm offering my clients to do now. So I'm doing a lot of MAP sessions and
And
people are
basically,
loving it.
how I understand it is, we're not even going into hypnosis. We're not going into the subconscious. We're
No.
actually calling on our superconscious mind
Yes.
to go in
Yes.
and do all that healing work for us.
Yes. What's powerful about that is that's an aspect of our subconscious. To think, we could be so down on the subconscious, like, oh, subconscious mind is just like, hanging on to all this stuff and why is it making me, struggle in life? But in reality, the subconscious, there's an aspect of our subconscious that all it does is want to help and heal us, right? It's there to do that. And MAP is using that part of our subconscious mind. And we're accessing that part of the subconscious that knows exactly how to go in and heal those parts of us. And it's done in such a powerful way, and it knows how to do it. Just how when I guide a hypnosis session and I guide my client through, taking them back to the root, the cause, the reason for this issue that you have, you're going back, your mind knows what it is, it knows where, when, how you acquired this. Okay, I'm not giving you anything. Your subconscious knows, and your subconscious is taking you right there. Well, the map is using that same part of your mind, only it's now instructing the superconscious, that part of your subconscious mind, to just go do it. Do a massive change history, like change, and we don't have to like recall every single thing. And I love it. And what it really has ignited in me is the truth, the embodied knowing of what
You
incredible
have,
being we are.
yeah, you have
We're
everything inside of you already to
yes,
do everything you need to do.
exactly,
Yeah, exactly.
exactly. I love it. It's so cool. Yeah. So it's I'm. Very passionate about it.
Now, are you able to do group map sessions as well, or just one-on-one right now?
Yeah, right now I'm doing one-on-one, and I think I'll do group when I'm certified. I think that would be more
Yeah.
appropriate to do group sessions once I have my certification in April. So yeah, I will
Well, I
be
want to
doing.
talk to you about it. We could talk offline, but I'll just mention it that probably beginning of the year, one of my companies, I think we're gonna completely relaunch and overhaul our group coaching program,
Oh,
and we'd love to
nice.
talk with you about being involved. You
Uh-huh.
know, it's all done online
Love
on
that.
Zoom, and
Yeah.
you might have hundreds of people there and
Yeah.
be able to guide them, because part of, these
Absolutely.
are all cancer patients, and so we're mapping out, but I have a integrative medical doctor, naturopathic doctor that I think that'll handle the doctor Q&As. I will probably mostly focus on all the nutrition and nutritional science, and then, have somebody focus on all the mental emotional healing. So there'll be something every week, once a week
Okay.
for the
Yeah.
group. And yeah, I mean, if you're interested,
Oh,
I'd
I
love to
would
talk to
love
you more
that.
about it, because
Yeah,
it'll be so helpful.
absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing with cancer, right? It's like we got to do mind, emotion, spirit. We got to do body, nutrition, exercise, detox, and then all the other environmental factors. And we
Absolutely.
hit the holistic approach, one session a week, every single week, people will see incredible results.
Oh, 100%. Wow. Yeah. Oh, that sounds absolutely fabulous.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll talk with you offline about it. So,
Yeah, that
plus
would be
then
great.
you'll have MAP, in April, which will be another amazing tool.
Yes. And mind shifting is great in group too. So,
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. If you can do mind shifting in
yeah.
group, then that'll
Yes.
be so
Yeah.
helpful.
And we can do group hypnosis too. New regression
Okay.
in group, you know?
Oh, cool. Oh,
Yeah.
really? You can do kind of like RTT, like
Yeah.
a.
Absolutely. I do
Oh,
that
wow.
in
I didn't
my
know
Love
that.
the Body You Have Dietless Life program.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's
so
exciting. That would be really cool. We could change it up,
Yeah,
something each month.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
Yeah.
now
Getting
I'm
just the
really,
root causes of things.
yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. It's like it's
People.
about getting the root cause. Cancer's not the problem. Cancer's the
No.
symptom,
No.
right?
Yes,
So we got to
exactly.
get to the root causes, and there's always an
Yes.
energetic, there's always any
Yes.
mental, emotional,
Yes.
very often a
Absolutely.
childhood adverse event or more,
100%.
or adult adverse event, and
Yep.
then diet, nutrition, supplements, all this stuff. It's like
Yeah.
it's complex, but it's also very simple.
It is. Yeah.
When you understand the holistic approach to human health, it's
Yeah.
very simple, but it's very complex because we're not trained in this growing up. It's like
Right.
you
Yeah,
either discover
exactly.
this because of passion, or because you yourself were sick, or somebody like my grandfather went through cancer, and I was just like, there's got to be a better way than chemotherapy and radiation that just killed him. It's like there's got to be a better way. And I discovered a better way. And we've had people go through my programs that literally have reversed stage four cancers using a holistic approach when they were failed by conventional medicine.
Yeah, no other hope.
Exactly. And
Yeah. Oh
so we know
man,
it's possible.
powerful, powerful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've got another interview in 10 minutes. So where
Okay.
can people get in touch with you? Hire you as a coach, all that good stuff.
Yes. Okay. My website is my name, sabrinaperez.com. So you can find me there. There is a button there, Your Path to Empowerment, to book a call with me and let's have a conversation where you're at. What do you want moving forward? What's in the way? We have a really fun conversation, and that is on me. And we will discuss what would be good moving forward for you. So sabrinaperez.com.
And it's absolutely worth it. That's all I can say.
Thank
And I
you.
recommend all of our clients, you commit to at least 90 days of like RTT or coaching, because like I've had people do one session, they listen to the recording for like a week, and then like I saw they got benefit, but they got stuck, right? So like I tell everybody now, I'm like, look, if you're gonna do this, commit to 3 months and listen to the recording every day, right? And it's like 10, 15, 18 minutes, however
Yeah,
long the
15 to 20, max 20. I try to keep mine
Yeah, and
recordings
it's
at least
easy. You can
15
do it
minutes.
at night, morning, whenever. But I had a I have a cancer client right now who just finished 3 months of RTT, and it's like it's life changing for him. We get a session, 30-day recording. Next session, new 30-day recording. Right, three sessions, a recording every day for 30 days for 90 days total, and it's just like completely changed his emotional well-being. He says he is just, and I can see it. Like he's.
No, that's a
He's like,
shift.
yeah, he's like, his face is lit up. He's glowing. He's healthier. I've been helping him with the exercise and the nutrition and the mindset. And then he's doing the emotional healing. It's like he's a totally different person now in just a few months. It's incredible.
It is. It is. Yeah, I encourage that 90 days as well. And that's where you see the biggest shift. Consistency. And moving, because there's layers to it. It's, it, and we get, and it, and there's so much richness in that awareness of yourself, awareness. There's just so much a beauty in diving in.
Hey,
Nathan,
awesome.
thank you
Thanks
for what
for
you do.
coming on the podcast. It was really awesome
Happy
to
to be here. Thank you.
dive
Thanks for
deep into
having
this
me.
with you. Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, thank you so much. And I'll follow up on email. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Okay. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Too.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. And it's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort, it cares about evolution. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.